This text is good proof that I feel like you and I have each sort of carved out our brand with the audience, Seth. Let's be real. Watching Sean on Survivor would be 100 times more entertaining than watching Seth on Survivor. Now, Seth would be better at Survivor than me, there's no question. But what I'm gleaning from this text, faithful listener, is that you think I would be horrible at the immunity challenges, would probably last about 2 hours in the heat, eating bugs or fruit or coconut or whatever it is they eat off the trees there. And I will tell you this right now. You are 100% correct. I would be awful at Survivor. It would be a hilarious watch, but I promise you, I would only last one episode.
You think you'd be one of the first ones out?
I would try to be one of the first ones out. The very just beginning vote for there. Me.
Yeah, the very beginning, it's all about how much value can you provide to your tribe.
Exactly.
And they might look at your weaving skills and fishing skills and everything and give a hard pass.
All the things I would pay other people to do for me if we were on... You know, back on the continental U.S.
Your best shot would be to smuggle a whole bunch of stuff in there in your rectum and basically, you know, just be figure out who's the recovering alcoholic here. I'm going to bribe him with the travel bottles of booze I got on the plane on the ride here.
Sean is walking much funnier than he did in his tryout video. That is interesting.
Sean's gone off to go to the bathroom 6 times already and come back with trinkets every time.
Every time. It's weird. Trinkets that would not be on an island somewhere. All right. So in case you're wondering why we're bringing that up, Charlie, my daughter's boyfriend, selected for Survivor 50. Just announced on CBS Mornings an hour ago. All right. Amen Thompson. I think he would do well on Survivor, I think. In good shape, good explosiveness, survival skills, pretty good. Amen Thompson is still one of the most beloved off-season figures. When it comes to sort of the rising stars right now in the NBA, it feels like Amen Thompson is on everybody's list. Him just now getting announced within the last week, first team all-defense, I think, really hammers it home. Brian Windhorst was on, I believe it was GetUp yesterday. It was GetUp yesterday. And they had Adam Schefter on there for whatever reason, talking about basketball. They had the Morris twins on there. They asked the Morris twins and Brian Windhorst, who's the next Shea Gilgeous-Alexander? Who's the next guy to kind of rise and take the league by the throat? Here was Brian Windhorst's answer.
Let me give you a name of somebody that you should take and keep an eye on next year. And he's a twin. Amen Thompson from the Houston Rockets. He's not going to win MVP, but he is a guy that you should pay attention to. By the way, his twin brother, Azar Thompson from the Detroit Pistons, should be on your list. Amen Thompson just made first team all defense. He is going to get better offensively. He is a future all-star. He is a potential future franchise player in Houston or elsewhere, because if the Rockets are going to look to make any sort of major trade, any team is going to want him. So keep an eye on Amen Thompson.
Okay. That's Brian Windhorst talking right there. I agree. He's the one untouchable guy in this whole thing for me.
It seems like he is from various player podcasts and everything around the NBA. He's almost like that up and coming band that only the real music insiders know about. The people that have watched him play and he catches their eye. Lots and lots of people keep noticing him So it's almost always brought up as, hey, you know who you got to keep an eye on? We got like 70% of NBA players saying, hey, I'll clue you in on something.
That's,
you got to keep an eye on Amen Thompson.
So funny you say that. Hey, Ben, can you cue that Windhorst one up again? I'll tell you when to down cue it here. The way he leads into this is exactly what you're talking about.
Let me give you a name of somebody that you should take and keep an eye on next year.
Okay, bingo. That's all we need.
Yeah.
Let me tell you about this guy who might be the best player on the 2 seed in the Western Conference. Guy's name is Amen Thompson, all right? Been watching this guy. He's like a garage band. He's going to be a big star.
I got a hunch about this guy.
I think he's going to be something.
Yeah, he was already recognized as a first team all-star, defensive all-star, or defensive team. Yeah. But keep an eye on him.
Keep an eye on him, man. We'll get to Jock Lawndale here in just a second. Amen's teammate. I always love listening to people with Australian accents. It makes the cut at least 25% better. When I think of Amen, let's play Lawndale here, and I'll give you my main thought on Amen in a second. This was Jock Lawndale. I apologize. I have no idea what podcast this was, but he's talking to somebody else who appears to be Australian in this podcast, so maybe he's back home for the offseason now. But this is Amen Thompson's teammate, Jock Lawndale. Good assessment. I think some pretty funny anecdotes, too.
Amen Thompson's going to be an all-star next year. I think if he's not an all-star next year, that's on him.
How many years has he been around for now?
Two. That was his second year.
He'd be pushing for that most improved player award as well, wouldn't he, next year?
For sure.
You can see he's about to just explode.
Well, you forget that he only started starting, I think, when Jabari Smith Jr. went down with an injury, like 60 games into the year or 50 games into the year. So from there, he just blossomed. And it was like, oh, my God. Like, we knew that he was good, but I don't think anyone was like, holy shit. A lot of us at the end of last season were like, this dude's the future of the program.
Yeah, wow.
And then to see that kind of come to fruition, we were like, yeah, like, this dude's
good,
something
good
else.
Bloke.
Unbelievable guy. And again, I do not compliment this guy to his face. I love to hang shit on a man, Thompson, and he knows it too. Like, we do this thing every time, you know, we go to give each other a high five, we pull our hands away at the last minute, and we try and, like, mess with the other person, you know, see. So I love messing with a man, but... yeah, he's a cracking bloke.
He's a cracking bloke.
Cracking bloke. Yeah.
Oh, he's a cracking bloke.
He's a cracking bloke. We got Steven Adams talking about the lads on the team.
Yeah.
We got to keep all of our foreign big men. We have to.
I think I came up with a new nickname for you. Cracker bloke.
That would be my rapper name.
He's my cracker bloke.
That would be my rapper name if I became a rapper.
My other bloke. Yeah, cracker bloke.
I'd be the cracker bloke. You know, I'd have all kinds of rappers on the cracker bloke podcast and everything.
Yeah,
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I like
twerking on Steph's boat and everything. Oh, look at cracker bloke over there. Yeah.
Amen Thompson, you know, at the end of last season, he was referencing is in 2024, the guys on the team were thinking, oh, man, this guy's really the real deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, you know, the Amen Thompson dynamic, it's one of those things where I feel like as appreciated as he is in Houston, I don't think it's fully hit how much of a found money delight, like, factor that could be when you look back to the Golden, like the Warriors, and how well they drafted. They were homegrown, and it wasn't guys that were slam dunk. Oh yeah, this guy's the next superstar of the league.
Nope.
And yet they ended up with one of the greatest products ever. And by just drafting really, really well.
Yes. Well, he was the number 4 overall pick, but that was the Wembanyama draft.
Right.
And people thought that was a 3-person draft. It was Wembanyama. Brandon Miller, if I'm remembering correctly, was the second pick, and I think Scoot Henderson was the third pick. And that was a draft where the narrative was, oh, you got to get one of these top 3 picks. And when the lottery came up and the Rockets were 4th, it was like, oh, can't catch a break, man. And don't get me wrong, like Wembanyama, assuming that whatever health issues he was dealing with are a thing of the past, is the future of the league. Like you call up the Spurs saying, we'll trade you Amen Thompson for Victor Wembanyama, they probably hang up. But Amen Thompson is going to be a great player in this league. And I think he's probably going to end up being better than the two guys that got taken ahead of him. And that just goes to show. Sometimes the lottery, like the night of the lottery, you look up and go, well, boy, we can't catch a break. And the fact of the matter was, if you were picking 2 or 3, you probably wouldn't have picked Amen Thompson in that draft, you know, just by the way that was going. So you're absolutely right about that. The Jabari thing is interesting that Londale brought up, that what got Amen into the starting lineup, it took Jabari Smith Jr. breaking his hand for Amen Thompson to get bumped up from being a 6th man to getting 40 minutes a night in the starting lineup. And it makes you wonder, like, how long would that, you know, would that have ever happened this year? Or would he have just been, along with Tari, the two, he and Tari are the original Terror twins, not Jabari and Tari.
I should be more, I need to be retroactively livid with Udoka for waiting as long as he did to and having his hand forced on that. I don't know if I can trust this organization anymore.
The other thing Londale said, the host that he was with said that Amen would be, he's a guy who could be most improved next year. Now, look, it's hard to win most improved when you're already thought to be one of the 5 best on one side of the basketball. You know, you're already thought to be one of the 5 best defensive players in the league. You've got no room for improvement defensively. I guess, Seth, if all of a sudden Amen Thompson became a 20-point a night guy, like if all of a sudden offensively he was somebody you really had to account for. You don't super hyper have to account for Amen Thompson offensively the way you do somebody who's got consistent range on their jump shot, you know?
And that's where, I mean, just getting a way to get some space into this offense and everything else, whether it's just by adding shooters or however you do it, or by adding a superstar in Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
I mean, some of what Rafael Stone was talking about in the clips we played of just not being so solely focused on the one individual. It's a team effect.
Yep, no doubt. Text messages coming in. Great program by the two of you. You talk like two GMs. Football is a business. Your conversation reminds us of this reality. Again, great show. I thank the texter for that compliment. I don't read it for self-gratification. I read it to point out to that texter that sometimes that view gets us portrayed as the responsible curmudgeons on the station.
Yeah,
we're not the ones out there making it rain the first day of free agency.
When I wasn't ready to fire Nick Caserio based on the first 2 hours of day one of free agency in 2024, yeah, I was an old man, don't you know? It's all about the dot-coms these days. Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfumania. That's the stock I'm buying.
All these kids on the Soch. Yeah. So thank you for the nice compliment, but just know that it's a blessing and a curse. Having the responsible point of view that Seth and I have about contracts and the salary cap gets us in trouble with the hot take community sometimes, okay?
It's a stupid way to dig for ratings.
It's definitely going to put the hourglass is dripping out of sand on the two of us right now because of that. And the fact
podcasters, the podcast listeners love you. Yeah, I know. Yeah. They're the people that they buy stuff. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. 2 hours in the heat for you is a stretch, Pendergast. It is. No, I was giving myself too much credit saying I survived 2 hours in the heat.
You did a good job at spring training. You sat down in the sun with no hat on your head.
Yep.
Your bald head.
Yep.
When you were just wanted to get video footage of Altuve in left field for the first time in spring training. And it was kind of hot that day.
It was hot that day. Yeah.
I was sitting up in the shade drinking one of those mojitos that's like a triple mojito in a can.
Yeah, those were good. Those were good.
Made for good social media content. That's what it's all about.
I forgot about that, man. Yeah, I did. I stuck it out. And boy, every time we thought he was coming out of the game, he kept staying in because he didn't get a ball hit to him the entire time.
Yeah.
He was supposed to play like four innings. Like, here he comes back out for the fifth. I'm like, ah.
He might have missed
slathering more sunscreen. Yeah.
That's how much he cares. He sacrificed the potential tee time.
That's right.
To stay out there. So those of you who don't know, in spring training, when the starters leave, they just leave. There's no hanging around the clubhouse or anything. Yeah.
He didn't even go back to the dugout. He walked out through the bullpen in the outfield.
Yeah.
He didn't go back to say goodbye to anybody. There were no scraps in his scrapbook. Altuve, innings over, he just turns around back and walks backwards, basically. Instead of going in towards the diamond, he walks through the wall. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Keep texting, 713-572-4610, getting some good amen texts. We'll read some of those. All right, I am the same. A future Hall of Famer had this to say about a Super Bowl that he lost. Happened to be right in a building I can see out the window right now. This guy handles losses the exact same way I do. Do you handle it the same way that this particular player does? We've got the audio. We've got that for you coming up next.